This morning, each of our texts has a common theme. That theme is the cost of discipleship. Each text comes at this theme from a slightly different angle, but they each deal with it. Look again at today's text as we hear what Jesus has to say in the Gospel of Luke. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, "This man began to build and was not able to finish." Or what king, going out to encounter another king in war, will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able, with 10,000, to meet him who comes again against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. First, Jesus says a person must be able to hate his own family, even father and mother, to follow him. That's what we see in our gospel text, with Simon and Andrew and the sons of Zebedee leaving behind everything, even their own father, to follow Jesus. Jesus speaks about a king who must decide if he is able to wage war against an opponent. The entire city of Nineveh consider God's word from Jonah, proclaiming its destruction. They realized that they could not withstand God's wrath, and so they repented. But what about our third text, the epistle text for this morning? How does it fit into this theme of the cost of discipleship? That's what we'll consider as we turn to it for our meditation this morning. Our text says, "This is what I mean, brothers. The appointed time has grown very short. From now on, let those who have wives live as though they had none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had no goods, and those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it." These words are the opposite of what we might expect. The world teaches that we should follow our hearts or our emotions. Television shows and popular media encourage us to relate to characters because they're so likable. Then some of those characters go and do things which we know are wrong, which we know are against God's will, to try to weaken our resistance toward those actions. These shows cause us to develop an emotional attachment toward those characters. And then they play music that's designed to make us feel bad for that character when he or she is chastised for doing something that we know is wrong. But sometimes it's not just television characters who do the wrong things. When a friend or family member does the wrong thing, our emotions might tell us to feel bad for that person. In the passage from Luke, though, Jesus makes it clear that we are not to follow our emotions. We are to love God more than our friends or even our own family. God teaches us to live according to His word, whether our emotions agree or not. In both Luke's gospel and our epistle text, we are commanded to love God so much more than anyone else that by comparison, it's as though we hate anyone other than God. This includes our very spouses, that we live in love toward God so much that it is though that we didn't even have a spouse. What is more, we are commanded to live the opposite of how we want. If you are sinning and continuing to do so to make yourself feel good, you are not worthy of following our Lord Jesus. Any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we have been saved by the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have been called to faith and discipleship in Him. And through God's Spirit, we continue to walk in Him. Through our baptism into Christ, we have not been called out of the world, but to live in the world, yet not of it. As we do, we live in a manner different than our neighbors, our co-workers, our friends, or even our family. To them, it may appear that we are not rejoicing when they might expect us to do so, or that we don't mourn when it would be deemed appropriate by the world. We live our lives in devotion and faith toward God. If we find that we cannot live in the world without succumbing to lust, we marry. If we find that we can live in the world without desire, we remain single. Both of these are God-pleasing ways in which to live and serve Him. When we have cause to mourn at funerals and afterward, we do not persist in grieving and hoping that somehow they might hear us from heaven. Rather, we grieve, but we grieve with hope. That hope being the hope that we have in Jesus' resurrection, that we too will rise. We do not desire for them to return to this place, this sinful place. We desire to go be with them in God's good timing. And in Christ Jesus, we have the assurance that we will see our friends and family who believed again. In Christ, we also discipline ourselves, praying that our wills be sacrificed to His good and gracious will. In the Lord's Prayer, we pray that God would break and hinder every evil plan, even those of our own old Adam, our own sinful nature, so that we might live as His new creations. So we do rejoice, but we rejoice in those things that make God happy, to please God, and not those things that please our old Adam. With every other dealing with the world, we live as ones who are not going to remain here, but only as ones who are passing through. We're only strangers and pilgrims. We don't indulge in every opportunity, but remain content with what the Lord has granted to us. Here's how Luther describes this section. This is a general teaching for all Christians, that they should treasure that eternal blessing which is theirs in the faith, despising this life, so that they do not sink too deeply into it, either with love and desire, or suffering and boredom, but to rather behave like guests on earth, using everything for a short time because of need and not for pleasure. As we hear these things, we might consider the cost of discipleship seems very great, giving up everything that we have to follow God. And we realize that we are not able to pay that great price of ourselves. Even as ones who have been saved by the death and resurrection of Christ, we still find that we are sinners at the same time that we are saints. Our Lord Jesus has led the way. When He came to the earth as the manifestation of God in the flesh, He lived perfectly, loving God and loving those around Him. Then He took up His cross and was nailed to it at Calvary. Rising from the dead, He has gone ahead of us to prepare a place for us, for me and for each of you. Now, the present form of this world is passing away. Today, Jesus has called you through His word to follow Him. Through His Holy Spirit, we are given the will and the desire to take up our own crosses and follow Him. Just as the present form of this world is passing away, the Spirit is at work in each of you, transforming you to be like Christ. This is an invisible process, and it is not completed in this lifetime. That's why time and again we hear that God, who has begun this good work in you, will bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, Amen.